Welcome to Holmes & Hops. Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. We also have a team of specialists that can help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrows. For more information or quote, please call us at 330-856-6244 or visit us on our website at www.plattinsurance.com. That's www.plattinsurance.com. Welcome to Holmes & Hops. Today's special guest is Michael Keyes, the Community Development Director of Warren.
And good afternoon.
Hello.
Nice to see you, Lisa.
Nice to see you. And our special guest host is Adam Keck, owner brewer at Modern Methods.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Mike.
And as a special guest host, how much do you make on this?
I don't know.
You don't remember saying that you do this pro bono?
Oh, that's fine. I don't get paid for much.
And I thought pro bono was the name of his new beer. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. That would be a good idea. There's a nice creative name. Of course, people probably would be surprised about paying at the end.
Right.
Sell it up.
And
I
get a cease and desist from Bono.
That's right.
Thank you both for joining me today. Mm-hmm. Today, we are actually at Deshaun Scott's D5 Group's recording studio and probably the second home to those who work here. The studio is located by the famous Dave Grohl Alley, right off the square of Warren, and very close to Modern Methods, and to you too, right, Mike?
Absolutely. I'm a block down the street.
So we both walked here, right?
Yeah, we did. Sure we did.
I did after I parked my car. So what delectable drinks did you bring us, Adam?
So we have two of our flagships. Scrappy German is our Hefeweizen. Darlene Lager is kind of our flagship lager. And then two special releases. I've got the Percolator, which is a coffee lager, and Hop Fart is our notoriously named New England hazy IPA. So whichever you guys prefer, we can split them up.
Mm. The coffee lager is such a
yeah, it's really good.
Is it
you like that?
Is that the one?
As Adam knows, I'm a stout guy.
Oh.
But the coffee is intriguing.
Now, there is some residual caffeine because it's basically like cold brew. So as long as you're...
I'm good. But don't give it to me until after.
Quite sensitive.
Well, yeah. I am a little childish, so I'll definitely go for the hop fart.
Uh-huh. There you go. Mike?
All ready?
Right. Are we all going to open these up at the same time?
I'm ready.
One, two, three. That is a great sound.
Excellent.
Cheers, everyone.
Excellent. Cheers.
We have to cling.
That's really not bad.
It is good.
It is good.
I love it when people say that. Like, hey, that's actually not bad. Like,
well,
this is my life's work.
Right.
And, no, I'm just kidding.
Well, in my defense, I am drinking something called Hop Fart.
Right, right.
So.
And I'm drinking something called beer, which I don't usually do either.
So Adam and Mike are very much connected here in Warren. Both are very intricate in developing the area as well. Two different capacities, but very significant nonetheless. So with that being said, one of the things I always like to find out is what brought the both of you to your current positions. We'll start with you, Mike, because I know you're originally right outside the area.
Yeah, originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, born and raised. That's where I went to school, came up into this area. I did radio around here for a number of years and news. And then I start working with Warren Redevelopment and Planning as their director. And then eventually the mayor asked me to come work for the city. So,
when was that?
I started working for the city in 2003. I got out of the radio business and the news business in probably 98, 97 and went to work for Warren Redevelopment and Planning.
So when you worked in radio, what was your focus?
My focus mainly was news. I was a newscaster. I was a program director in a station in Youngstown. And I also had my own talk show, which was a current events type of show. We dealt with the issues of the area, which is why the mayor came and said, hey, you know so much about the Warren, why don't you come work for us? I think really at the time, Merrick just wanted to get me off the radio, so I wouldn't criticize it anymore. But it's Congressman Traffigan back in the day was a regular guest once a month with my show. Most of the local politicians, commissioners, mayors, Mayor Angaro back in the day were all guests. So we concentrated mostly on local politics.
And we were actually talking a little bit earlier about the radio and the, I don't know if this is the correct term, but surgence, because it wouldn't be a resurgence of podcasts, but the impact that podcasts are starting to make on viewers and having more listeners start versus watching videos. They're starting to listen to podcasts now.
Podcasts are easy because they're more portable. You can listen to them in your car. You can do a lot of things. Plus, they concentrate in certain areas of you that you may want to hear more about or areas in your expertise or something. Radio, local radio, really, for all intents and purposes, other than one station in our valley, doesn't really exist anymore. It's mostly programmed outside of the area. It's owned by companies outside the area. So podcasts have sort of started filling in that gap there by doing a lot more local stuff, more stuff of special interest for people.
Well, I, for one, am a fan. How about you, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, to me, they're nice, especially, you know, brewing or any, like, manual labor. Especially, I listen to probably, I can't even count the hours, like, building that brewery. It's nice to just, like, throw it up on in the background. And, you know, like Mike said, they're so hyper-focused on your particular interests and, you know, you've got creative people out there everywhere just really putting out amazing content that can be so tailored to what you really want to hear. It's a really cool medium, I think.
And I think the only thing that's missing is for people my age that don't listen to them because they don't know about them. They don't know how to listen to podcasts. They're not familiar with computer. My daughter actually had a podcast, I think I mentioned before.
Yes.
And that's how she met her husband because he had one. And they went to some podcast convention and met each other because they had been listening to each other. Just ended up getting married and, you know, so the whole thing. But for people my age who didn't grow up with either computers where you can plug that in, we had radio, we had TV. This is a much more difficult audience, I think, for podcasts to reach. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you would do that, but I think it would be
important. I mean, I think it's like I installed an app for my dad so he could listen to one nerdy like comedy history podcast that I knew that he would like, and now he's a podcast fan because, you know, he travels a lot, drives a lot, and now he's emailing me links of, you know, hey, did you listen to this episode? Check out this new show. So I think it's like just kind of a generational.
Sure,
like,
it is. It
once you install that app
in.
And
that's what I'm saying. So I think this medium only grows. You know, as the older generations come out and the newer people come up, then that's going to be the norm for them. I'm sure my granddaughter in a few years will be listening to podcasts. So,
right. Probably, if she already isn't listening to them.
She might be.
You never know.
I'm still trying to get her to walk, but she might be.
Well, I mean, I remember reading to the babe before the babe was actually born.
Now you don't
have
to read, just throw a podcast on.
I know.
It's also a good way, like, for this to find out about, and a lot of people, again, aren't as familiar with local breweries and what they do. I think, again, my generation is not, but there are people that hear about breweries but don't understand the phenomenon of breweries and whether it's going to continue. So this gives people a chance to be educated about it, what it does for a community, what it brings to the local.
Exactly. And the idea of Homes and Hops is actually showing the impact that they have made in a positive way on the residential market. And when it comes to attracting more commercial, I am sure that while there is no study out there for it, I'm sure they are working on that right now. When you work in community development, because it's really community and economic development in Warren, when you are out there and you're seeing the extraordinary difference from 1998 even to now, 2020, I mean, the amount of growth and everything that's happened in the city has been extraordinary. I mean, you have your amphitheater, you have a brewery, you have your winery, you have other fine restaurants, and you have the incubator. There's so many different things that are happening over in the city of Warren. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to bringing more businesses in and showing and highlighting those, how does community development help personify to other people, residents, of everything happening? Because I think no matter where we live, whether it be in a city like DC or New York or San Francisco or in Warren or Youngstown or Columbiana,
I think that we have a tendency as people to not really take advantage of what we do have in the area.
Boy, there was a lot in that
question. I know.
Boy, you are, it's just like, where do I begin? And do we, or do you want to talk in general, or you're talking specifically Warren? Do we
specifically
want to keep this
Warren,
specifically
definitely.
Warren? Right. Because when I came into Warren and started working in this field in 98, one of the first things I did was work with the Fine Arts Council and people like Bill Mullane, who is well known in our area, to try to figure out what do we do with all the empty storefronts in downtown. And we did an art program where we start hanging kids' arts in the window because we had nothing else going on. And we thought, well, at least the parents will come in downtown and see the artwork. The difference now, but and me getting phone calls saying, hey, I'd love to be on the square. And I'm saying, I don't have anything on the square. I'm sorry, I have no space left on the square. But that's a 20-year period. Warren was, of course, was doing real, real well when everybody was working and making good money, and they were all. But that's what caused part of the downfall of Warren. General Motors going strong, Delphi we talked about, the steel mills going strong. People in the city of Warren started making money, and now they wanted bigger and better. They wanted bigger homes. They wanted a driveway with two-car garages and not one car detached. They wanted more than one bathroom in their home. So they started expanding out into the Howlands and the Champions. And so you start losing. Most people say, well, it was white flight. It wasn't white flight. It was people that now had a few dollars and wanted to move up in the world.
Very true.
Housing stock was built back in the 30s and the 40s and even in the 50s, which now is almost historical,
yes.
From 1950 to 2020. And that's what happened. So you get these people out, the property values start dropping because people are trying to get rid of the properties they have here. And the ones that are staying, the elderly people are starting to move out and move south. So all of a sudden you had this vacuum, and then you start attracting a more transient population starting moving in. But when you lose that population that's making dollars and are moving out, you're also losing disposable income. So people are no longer coming into downtown. You can't expect retail to come into downtown when there's nobody within a mile or two radius that has any money to shop in the retail stores.
It's very true.
Retail is always the last piece of any puzzle. You've got to have the people living in the area, the residential part of it, and that's very important before the retail will come in. So you have a lot of those things going on. The good thing about the first time that Adam was talking, and boy, I don't even know when that was, about finding a place for a brewery in town. We looked at the property over on Main Street. The thing about a brewery that's interesting is it almost is an identifier for your particular city because it's different. It's not like you're bringing in a Red Lobster or a chain. You're bringing in something that's very unique just to the community. There is no other modern methods. There are other breweries, but there's only one modern methods, and that's how the city of Warren defines itself. That's the modern methods brewery city, and that's what you have to start doing. You have to market that to the people that you're trying to reach. You're not trying to reach my age group. You're trying to reach a younger age group and say, hey, come into the city. Here's what we have to offer, and that's how you start getting them to come in. So you have to have that entertainment piece along with the housing piece.
It is essential.
And everything else starts following up on that. So those kind of things and those kind of identifiers are very, very important to a community, especially to a downtown, where you can identify something. And that's what modern methods brings to community.
And which modern methods, and I know I ask you this every time because it's one of my favorite names stories, is tell us where the modern methods name came from.
So in, I haven't told this story in a while. When we first start, everybody wants to know about the name. Now we're about to hit 2 years in April, so I don't talk about the origin as much. So I think it was 1905. The city was putting up this big lit sign. No, 1909. Okay, 1909. Yes. The original city hall. They're contracting to get this this big electric sign, which is something a lot of cities were doing at the time to kind of advertise to the main street. In our case, it was Market Street. Basically, hey, let's put this up, and we'll have just kind of a message to anybody going through our city to express to them, what are we all about? So Warren did a very cool thing. They kind of crowdsourced that and had the Warren Tribune Chronicle basically say, send in your suggestion to us. What would you have the big sign say? And I've actually got these articles like where they had to leave the window open longer than they thought. And, names were coming in from overseas and from all over the country. And like people were really hyped up about this. So they ended up, a lot of these are really kind of kitschy and like you know,
of course,
Warren, we can do it with the can-do spirit, or
you know, a little Rosie Riveter.
Yeah, right, exactly. So they ended up combining two of them, I think two local people, and so that they came up with Opportunity It's Here, Warren City of Modern Methods. And at the time, Warren was kind of this hub of innovation around electricity, obviously manufacturing and, you know, steel and industries, you know, with steel and assemblies. So they really wanted to kind of highlight that. You know, when I first moved here back in 2009, one of the things that really stuck out at me was the Goddess of Speed. And there was a whole art project where different artists kind of did their rendition of the goddess, and this thing was all over the place. So we kind of borrowed that. It's an old Packard hood ornament, and it's really kind of iconic to the people of the city, because Packard Automotive was originally a Warren company. And so we adapted the Goddess of Speed, called her the Goddess of Agriculture, gave her barley wings. Barley sprigs for wings and an outstretched hop. Kind of paired the two, Modern Methods Brewing Company.
Which is absolutely perfect. And it also shows what a staple and what's the word I'm looking for? How you exemplify like the city of Warren.
You
took it in and you loved it. And
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's just absolutely amazing.
I think the other thing that was important to me was that it, you know, embraced that industrial heritage, but kind of charted out a new path, something that kind of felt like progress and new and different, and not really like, you know, resting on our laurels as like a Rust Belt city.
Yes.
Or as, is what we used to be.
You figured it out. So that's like one of the most complicated things that I think people face in our area is how do you be respectful and knowledgeable and never forget where our roots come from, but at the same time, not letting that hold you back in being able to progress and change into what we can be and what we and embrace what we are.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping
it's tough.
It is extraordinarily tough, but I'm keeping open eyes to what we have. And I think Modern Methods and that whole entire story is perfectly depicted on what we should all be doing.
Actually, maybe we can do a plaque or something with that story on a plaque that could hang at the brewery. That would be great.
It's been on my to-do list for 2 years.
Is it really? the only thing I would point out is I don't think they used crowdsourcing as a term back then,
yeah.
but I got the message right. But good point is the idea of change. Change is very hard in Warren, which I noticed. And I think it's because coming from a bigger city where you had a number of universities and you had to turn around with a lot of young people getting involved in constant mm-hmm. change of new ideas, Warren's demographics got older as people moved out and was much more resistant to change. You know, back in the 90s, it was difficult because people kept expecting the steel mills were going to come back mm-hmm. and Delphi was going to come back and everybody was going to come back and we're going to go back to the way we used to be. And that was the difficult part. Even when we did the amphitheater project, there were people that just fought that project the whole way. I had to fight environmentalists,
changed.
Historic people. They made me do an archaeological dig because they figured there was something in the ground there that I might have been destroying. So it was a tough process because people said, no, we don't want change. And you have to walk that fine line between what's historic and what's modern that you have to bring in, whether it be, you know, what do we allow for signage in downtown Warren being such a historic area? Do we allow flashing, you know, signs, or do we try to keep the historic look? So you have all that, and you have to walk that line, and it's not hard. I mean, it's not easy. It's just kind of difficult to make sure you're trying to make everybody happy, which you can't do, but
it's impossible.
You got to walk that line.
But one thing in life that's constant is constant change. Mm-hmm. And that is something, I mean, I love change. There's definitely times I'm a little bit more apprehensive towards it. I mean, as we all should be. But at the end of the day, you just go forward and you realize that today is today, embrace it and work towards tomorrow and learn from your past. I mean, I'm sure that's what everybody says, and I did not come up with that own statement myself, but it's obviously been ingrained in me. But I think I honestly do. I love the fact that you guys have done what you've done. I mean, you have revitalized Dave Grohl Alley, which in all honesty, the art and everything, just walking down that alleyway heading into your brewery is cool. Whether you're into Dave Grohl's music or not, it's still cool to see. And I know you mentioned the artwork with the goddess as well being throughout the city. Warren has actually been very progressive when it comes to art. And Adam and I, we spoke, was it about a week ago, about how, and Mike, I'm not sure if your involvement in this, I'm assuming you were, about the artists going into homes.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And
they called it Occupy Warren.
Occupy
yes,
Warren, right.
Mm-hmm. Which is another great showing of Warren and how, whether it be the artwork on the buildings or what was done in those homes, is a great showing of Warren and the progressive ideas that you have in order to take something negative and make it a positive.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's like what Mike was saying, like the mentality, you know, through no fault of anybody's, it's like the comfortable thing is to say, well, we would love for GM to come back with three shifts.
Right.
We would love for the steel mill to just erect itself back up and, you know, be going gangbusters three shifts. And there's a lot of attachment and comfort in that. But like the city that I know as Warren is not the city that people that lived at that time know. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of lament that the city isn't the way it was. But for me, like when I first moved here, it was like, look at all these buildings. Like, I've been in bigger cities where this would cost more than $500 a month to start a brewery, you know?
Now, I feel like I should know this answer, but are you originally from Warren?
I'm from about 20 minutes down the road from North Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know your wife is not from, right? She's from New York.
Yeah, Long Island.
Yes.
Yep. Wow. She moved from...
Wait, no, not just Long Island. Where on Long Island?
Southampton, New York.
Yes.
Whoa, yeah.
And I got Sarah to move here from Manhattan. So she graduated grad school.
That's what we do. We bring our spouses back.
That's right.
Back.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I'd love to have her at the other microphone and get a real outsider's perspective.
Her and my husband could sit there.
Yeah, yeah.
Have a nice perspective of how we had them move here into the area. But I mean, I don't know about her, but I can tell you, Andy, my husband, has adapted, and he's lived here for what, past 3 years, and is enjoying it and is excited about the change. I think when we got married was, I don't know about, gosh, I should know these things, it was about, I want to say 12 or 13 years ago, I am terrible.
You are also in trouble. But go ahead.
Are you kidding? My husband has the password to my computer as our anniversary, so I won't forget.
Nice.
But so he has seen, by coming back here, the changes that have been made. And he was actually excited. And he looks at things. He looks downtown Youngstown, looks downtown Warren, and he's like, we need to get on this. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much awesome that you do want to start making way, becoming your own entrepreneur, and like seeing what impact you can make to the area, which is great, because we do have that opportunity. Where in larger cities, there's not much room for that opportunity.
Or just priced out if you don't have deep enough pockets.
This is true,
right,
too.
Yeah.
And when you look at, you know, what you're talking about David Grohl Alley, that's, you know, basically you've got two people to thank for that. Adam is one because of the brewery being there. Mm-hmm. And Joe O'Grady, whose idea was, hey, let's honor hometown guy who went out and started calling attention to the fact, hey, Dave Grohl's from here, we should do something.
And so, you know, there's a lot of volunteer,
right? Yeah,
lot
then you get the volunteers
community effort behind that as well.
But it takes the vision of you for with the brewery and him with, hey, I see this, and then getting those people excited about what you're doing and getting them involved. Because without that, you know, I don't know that the city says, hey, let's do something here. It takes people, individuals. So it is possible for an individual to make their mark in communities like ours, because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for people to come in and say, hey, I see something that maybe you guys have never seen, but I have this vision of what could happen here.
I think it's very important for us not to utilize city government as a crutch and somebody to just constantly look to do all the actions, that we should look to them for guidance and support, But when it's beyond just the legislation and everything, when it's actually like the actions, the foot on the ground, opening up the businesses, helping raise funds for the nonprofits, having the events, the festivals, the arts, music, you name it, I think that we as individuals and residents need to be more participatory in what we're doing in our communities.
Oh, totally agreed. Governments are not built to change. They're built to be purposely slow moving, taking a lot of time, a lot of deliberation. And when you bring the politics part of it into it, you're dealing with people, and that's not everybody, but there are some elected officials who think between now and the next election, not between now and 10 years from now, what it's going to look like. What is it going to be between now and the next election so that I can say that's what we did. So you have to almost work around that sometimes when you're dealing with developing a community that you know needs a 5, 10, 15-year plan to get where it ultimately needs to be. And you can't rely on these 2-year elected terms or 4-year elected terms to do it. Having said that, there are a lot of local officials and local mayors who are very proactive and will work with you. But again, they're also bound to, you know, they have to run for office every so many years. And I once had an elected official say to me, hey, you do news. You work for a newspaper. I've got to make a decision on this. How do you think the editorial will look the next day? And I'm saying, well, you're going to base your decision on what the editorial is going to be, or should you be basing your decision on what's best for the community? But that's how they think. It's sometimes how they have to think if they want to be reelected.
Very true. Right. It's unfortunate, but that is part and par for the course.
And I don't blame them. I blame the people that vote who don't take their time to look at the candidate seriously and look at, oh, I met this guy one time, so I'm going to vote for him.
Women's League of Voters, that used to be one of my go-to sources to actually compare the candidates and figure out which one I would be more apt, because no candidate would I ever fully agree with. And I'm amazed by anybody who does fully agree with one candidate. It's just you pick which ones are your most important topics, and whichever one falls into most of those categories, that's the one that you should go for. Not a big party person either, but
I like to party.
Well, I guess it depends on what the party
is. I think she needs another beer.
but when it comes to it, like you said, it is something that we as a community should be the ones that are stepping up to the plate, and instead of just commenting about the change that we'd like to see, but then actually figuring out how to make that change ourselves to do it.
It is kind of amazing that when you go to a city council meeting, and I'm at all the meetings, that there's a lot of attention paid to people that come and speak in public, but a lot of times those are the people that are the negative people. So a lot of times we spend a lot of time and effort appeasing 2% of the people that are complaining, while the rest of the people are really not giving us their input and their thoughts. So it is important that you get involved with your government, or even if it's just to knowing who you're voting for and why you're voting.
That is true. So
let's get up.
I know. So let's talk about walkability.
Let's talk about walkability.
So walkability in the city of Warren. I love, like, as you mentioned, the fact that you don't have the storefronts available for people as you did back in the day. And I think that when you are walking on the streets around the square, we should be seeing a slew of people walking around and stopping in on those stores. And I actually do want to have a quick shout out to the jewelry store that showed me the way to the studio.
Probably today. Tom Dumas?
Yes.
Oh, you went to Tom's? Okay.
I just opened up the door in the rain. It's like, can somebody tell me where 125 Almost Market is?
I think Tom Dumas founded Warren, didn't he? He's been around for 150 years. But yeah, they're good people.
They were very friendly. And he actually walked me over here. So, I mean, above and beyond. So, nice people here in the city of Warren, too.
Yeah.
But I would love to see a lot more activity. And I know that Modern Methods, you do hold events to help draw people into the city. And I mean, there is parking along the square. I at least have never had an issue parking. There's also the parking deck that's right next to the building.
So Sarah and I have lived in downtown Warren now since like 2011. And so that's 9 years. We started in an apartment, got into a better apartment, you know, on the square. And then 3-4 years ago, we bought an old Victorian home right up the street, you know, within a 5-minute walk of downtown. So like we've been
very conveniently located.
Oh, absolutely. So we've been down here for 9 years, and it doesn't may not seem like there's a lot of foot traffic now, but just to give you an idea, like on a, when we first moved here on a Friday at 4:30, when all the city and county workers left, you know, it would be like a ghost town, like a like a zombie movie. Like you stand out in the middle of Courthouse Square and just scream, and nobody would hear you. Over the past, especially the more 4 or 5 years, like started with like the Lime Tree, which is now West and Main, and a couple more spots downtown. It's like we've started to get this synergy where on started with like just Friday, Saturday nights, it would be like, hey, there's a bunch of cars around in these parking spots. Now that's seems to be like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, a bunch of cars around. And, you know, people, maybe not necessarily during the day as much, but, you know, the nightlife has definitely brought a lot more people to like have a foot traffic and making their rotations between.
It's convenient.
Yeah, absolutely. So when our pitch is like, hey, like you could drive out to, you know, a bar, restaurant, and a strip plaza, and you're going to drive there, park, and you're going to walk in there. If you want to go somewhere else, go back to your car, drive around. You know, you can park in one spot safely here in Warren and go and be in three different three different spots, enjoying three different experiences very easily. And you know, it's been fun to watch how that's shifted and how that's changed over just in a short amount of time.
And before our podcast ruined the relationship between me and my daughter, because then she met somebody and moved to Michigan. No, my daughter and I used to do the same thing. And I remember St. Patrick's Day. I mean, we'd come down, we'd park, and we'd hit the brewery, and we'd go down to the Horseshoe. We would just walk, and that was our St. Patrick's Day together that we would spend. And that is very important, and I think you see a lot of that now. The idea is to try to get that and keep that movement going. The busing will help. The Robbins Theater helps because it gets people going the other direction from the square.
WRTA coming here is absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of public transportation. And if you have the ability to just leave your car at home, hop on the bus, and then get to your work or wherever else you need to go, then I say take that opportunity. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, you're going to save on gas and you're going to save on having to look for a spot if that be the case, because one day there's going to be a magnitude of people down here that parking will be difficult. So
we hope so.
So taking public transportation.
I mean, it is now. Like,
right. Yeah.
You can't park on the square anymore.
Good problem to have.
A lot of people say, parking.
Well, we want to have a parking problem. But walkability also means being able to connect to things so people want to go to the next level.
Very true.
One of the things that we've got to try to do is avoid like parking lots. Being on the main drags or without at least some kind of landscaping that makes it attractive to walk by it. Because a lot of times you see people walk, when they get to a big parking lot like that, it's very stark. They tend to stop. So if I want them to continue walking, I've got to make the walk attractive. We also are trying to connect the peninsula now with the downtown. So where the winery is, we've got the Reeves Apartments now. They're hoping to start construction in April, which is only a couple months away.
I know.
And they're going to do upscale and market rate apartments. So we might have up to 40 new apartments there that are market rate with people. So I've already approached the county engineer's office talking about maybe doing some additional lighting on the bridge, sort of so that's a natural walk from downtown over to the peninsula side and start developing that side. And then going the other direction down to the Robbins Theater and trying to work on that. Hopefully what we're going to do to assist that is that coming up in a couple months, I'm hoping to bring a consultant on board to start talking about lighting in downtown and increasing the lighting and the look of the lighting in downtown. Christmas time, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Some of the up lighting and everything is gorgeous. Now, if we can keep that up through the year, there are parts of downtown that I think are still a little dark that we want to brighten. So we're gonna start that process this summer. Of looking at lighting and increasing the lighting in downtown to make it even seem more safe and secure with the additional lighting.
Maybe have some volunteers do some walk audits for you.
I've talked to a member of my staff and we're saying, okay, the weather's starting to get nicer. It's time to start walking because we're going to look at placements. Now with people walking, you also need to look at placements of trash cans along the street so that you don't see the trash on the street. People are using the planters now. And those have to be decorative. And you got to start saying, okay, do we need some more benches? I've gone to a lot of nice small communities, and you look at what they've done in downtown to make it appealing, and that's what we start looking at now. We don't want to lose the momentum we've had. So we're in that process talking about walkability is doing that.
It's interesting because what you're ideally with the size of the city, you would still want it to look boutique-y, if you will, mm-hmm. on the outside as much as it does when you go into the shops. And I do think that when it comes to the current footprint that Warren already has, I mean, it just leads to so many different possibilities of expanding out and making things more walkable for people to enjoy, like you were saying, from the winery downtown to the amphitheater, all the various different places that people would be able to go to, which is ideal. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to homes, I would think by having all this, and I can tell you in real estate and where buyers are starting to go more is not the suburban sprawl. I mean, we all know that the mall is hurting out there and that people are starting to look more to the cities again and having that ability to walk from store to store, go to one restaurant, go to a store, go to another restaurant, stop at a museum, whatever it may be, to be able to transition throughout their day to various spots. So that then in turn also then makes the homes much more desirable, while before it's let's go out, people are going to start trying to come back in, mm-hmm. which is great. It's really good because, like you said, having the residents there is the first start to be able to draw everything else in.
Residents, entertainment and attraction, and once you have that, then you have certain disposable income, then more money comes, starts following that through, especially retail. And when you're looking, the other thing that we've also got to be careful of is that we don't say, okay, boy, downtown is really nice, we can stop.
Oh, no.
Because, as you said, even the malls now are starting something. There's everybody that thinks this is going to go on forever. It's not. So you have to constantly be in a state of change and willing to accept change and willing to try new things and can never be satisfied. And I think Warren got to a point at one time where they were satisfied. Warren was doing really well. Population of Warren was double what it is now. So everybody was happy. There was money. Bob, nobody worried about anything. But it gradually, because that erosion doesn't happen. I mean, the word erosion itself happens, yes, over a period of time. So you don't even notice sometimes what's happening to your community until you go back and say, oh my God, how did we get here? So you're going to constantly update, constantly do improvements to things, constantly look at your quality of life issues that keep your residents and keep the people coming in. So those are the kind of things. And I think the Robin Cedar is one of those. You have the amphitheater, you have the music hall, and now all of a sudden you have the Robins. So you can't say, well, we don't need the Robins. No, you do. And then once the Robins has been around for a while, now let's look at the next thing we want to do. So that's that constant. And you got to hope that younger people that are coming into the area are the ones that are going to be the leaders that are going to take that. People... All right. I think he was worried I was going to point at him and say, okay, you're now in charge. If you want to be in charge of the city, I'll have that conversation with the mayor. We're all ready to retire soon anyway. Uh-huh. But no, you have a lot of people, even through TNP, there's a lot of young people out there that have great ideas. And all they've got to do is learn how not to be abrasive with the older people. So they learn to work for good because they do. I mean, you know.
Or maybe the older people need to.
True. But the older people, you have to respect age, Adam. You just have to respect age and just learn how to work together. And I think that's some of the problem. Like I said, we started here. Resistance to change is natural.
Yes.
And people have been doing the same thing for 30 years. Don't say that.
Well, you have to think. Right? Adam and I don't have the same historical context of things that have happened in this area. That even though you moved here in the 70s, you still have that historical context. So when we look at things, we don't look at them of saying, well, we remember when the steel mills closed. We remember when, what was the gas crisis occurred and people were, that wasn't during our time. So we look at
Why don't you just work on making me feel even older than I already do? Keep going, Lisa.
So it's just interesting of how all of us here, we want the same thing.
Absolutely.
But we all look at it in such different ways that it's just interesting trying to figure out the fine dance, if you will, to make sure that we're able to mesh together and create, because it is important to have that historical context, because, I mean, at the end of the day, you don't want to repeat past mistakes. And there's also the idea of the knowledge base of everything that you guys have done and know, hey, listen, we tried it this way. It didn't work out, but this way does work. Let me help you out to make it easier for you. And like, so that's the whole dynamic. And then we think to ourselves, like, well, why can't we just do it this way? Well, there's a reason. And mm-hmm. thank goodness for the other generation for learning what the reasons are.
And what we've learned may not even hold true today. So there are times when it's like, yeah, we tried it, it didn't work. Well, it didn't work.
What we think may not hold true either. Right.
Well, but instead of it becoming sort of a conflict, and it doesn't need to be, but it's just who we are as human beings that we tend to say, no, you can't do that. And we just got to learn.
Very protective.
Yeah, but we don't have these kind of conversations normally. Normally do we sit down like this and say, okay, for an hour, we're just going to talk. And get to know each other and get to know each other's opinions. No, because sometimes as soon as you start saying something, somebody's going to say, well, that ain't going to work. Before you even get it out of your mouth, that are telling you it's not going to work. I can't tell you how many times I was told that amphitheater project would not work, and I was crazy for trying it.
I love hearing that you didn't stop. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, how many people stop and you didn't?
But that could be the same set thing that I could say to somebody that's not going to work, and they're going to say, well, old man, let's step out of the way. I'll show you. So I would never nix anybody's ideas because I remember going through that. I remember walking through the Italian festival where I got attacked by more Italians than I can name because they thought I was building the amphitheater strictly to get the Italian fest off the square.
Hmm. Oh.
And my wife said to me at the time, we are never coming to this again because I can't put up with these people screaming at you. So we stopped going.
I don't care how good the Capitelli
right.
is.
So that, but those are the kind of things you faced. Environmentalists didn't like the idea that I was putting the amphitheater there on the riverbank. They didn't like the idea that it was the historic look of the Kinsman House, the amphitheater were destroyed. So there was a lot of pushback, but you have to just keep moving forward saying, look, we need to do this, which just has to happen. And I think the people that were around at the time we did that now have to listen to the people coming up under us and say, hey, we also have ideas. Give us a shot. Let us try some things. If they don't work, what's the worst can happen?
Speaking of ideas.
No, we can't do that. That won't work, Lisa. I'm sorry.
Now, just going back to.
We've tried that.
Going back to radio.
Okay.
Because I know with Adam. So Adam is absolutely phenomenal and is definitely one of those people that tries to build other people up and help them out. And because I came to Adam with a business idea that I had, it has its flaws. I haven't given up, Adam. I'm still working on it. But you did bring up a valid point. But but with that, I had never myself done a business plan. So Adam was awesome enough to lend me his business plan. And he's like, tweak it wherever you need. So I got the email. And what was it, like 70, 80 pages?
Yeah, but a lot of that's just,
Yes. Never question whether Adam has ever thought anything through thoroughly, because he definitely has. Now, when it comes to radio, is that something that you guys had to do too when you start your business as a host or the station and everything? Because you had people underneath you at one point in time too.
On radio?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as a program director, I was never the owner of the station, sure. A little bit different because in radio, you get your start wherever you can get your start, even if it's a little 50-watt station and you try to work your way up and send your tapes out and your resumes out. And that's basically how we make the decision. We don't look for business plans like you're referring to more than I'm listening to the tone of the voice. I'm listening to the character in the voice and I'm saying, oh, this person sounds really good. Now I'll set up the interview and bring them in and talk to them and learn more about them. But it's more about the individual versus the plan.
So Adam, are you wondering what Mike's take is on our voices on the radio right now?
I love both of you. I love both your voices. You have a very, there's a lot of, and please just take this the right way. There was a time that was only men in radio, but again, the equipment was different back then, where men's voices just were better for the radio and the type of microphones and everything were used then. But then it got to the point in the 60s where, women's liberation, and you got to start giving, so a lot of stations started hiring women just to say, hey, yes, we have women on staff. But a lot of them weren't suited. Their voices still weren't suited. There are some women's voices that don't work on radio. They have to have a little bit of a deeper tone. That's just my opinion. And
okay.
You have that. So your voice sounds very good in my headset right now.
Well, thank you.
And Adam
much.
Has that naturally. He has that natural deep, with a little bit of resonance there.
Well, now we know. Well, thank goodness, because I am doing a podcast.
There's a woman, the best radio voice in this area is a woman, I used to call her a girl, but Margie Lenhart, who works down at, Margie has one of the greatest radio voices. She does a lot of commercials and voiceovers for local, but yeah, she works out of Clear Channel down at in Midlothian Boulevard there.
Yes. It's over in Boardman, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. She has one of the best radio, female radio voices ever. So if you want to know what I think a good female radio voice is,
I'm going to start listening to her, and then I'm going to start mimicking her. Like, Lisa, what happened to your voice?
And now it's much more natural. But the microphones are better, the equipment's better, so almost anybody's voice can, you know, when you put it through all the filters, be made to sound better.
Now, only if it could let me have the ability to sing, then I'd probably participate in karaoke more often.
Well, let's hear a few bars.
Oh, no.
What? That's what we can do right now. We'll write a jingle for Modern Methods and you can sing.
Oh, there you go. Would Modern Methods ever have a jingle?
What makes you think we don't?
Oh.
That's actually one of my hobbies is writing terrible jingles.
Is it really?
Well, very informally, but I torture...
I
think Sarah
lie.
Gets a kick out of them.
I think that you were the first person I ever heard say that this is one of their hobbies. Mm-hmm. And probably I will never meet anybody else like
probably
you
not.
Again.
Yeah.
Well.
Can you share one of your jingles?
I can't. So I forget them very quickly.
Do you really?
I do.
I think for the next podcast you guys do.
I can prepare
You got to bring one yeah. in and at least it's got to say.
The next one I come up with, I'll write it down. And
I think that'd be absolutely perfect. I would love to hear it.
Make sure I don't have it on my phone.
That would be great. It's not easy. I mean, that creativity is not easy. And I think about that even with the beer names, like Hop Fart. I mean, I know Darlene has the story behind it, but all the different names that you guys come up with, I'm like, how do you do that? My assumption would be like you're just pouring the beer and you're tasting it, and after a few hours of drinking that beer, then you come up with a name. Is that basically?
I mean, it can be excruciating at times because, I mean, especially like you brew a beer and you're like, okay, yeah, this like recipe really like nailed it. Like, and if you don't have a name like for that, you've got to like come up with something. And it's like, okay, what's our mission? What's our goal with this beer? Like, who are we trying to appeal to? Sometimes there's that much like thought process
That's
that goes into it. I'm actually like trying to name our Irish ale like right now that we're going to release next week.
I was about to say,
St. Paddy's Day
is literally around the corner.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable to me because I feel like we just celebrated New Year's.
I would say 2 weeks from today.
Yeah. Other times it's like, you know, we say something and we all laugh or like, it's like, oh yeah, that's a beer name. Like put that on the board. So, you know, it's kind of spontaneous the way it works.
So,
and sometimes it's very like excruciating to figure it out.
Adam asked me to come up with a name for a beer for the Growler series that Adam and I were talking to Mike about a little bit earlier, a Holmes and Hops Growler series that if you're listening out there, more information will be coming. But Adam said, Lisa, pick out a name. This is what we're thinking about doing. And I think I gave him three suggestions for a name, and I couldn't see him on the other line of the phone, but I feel like he was cringing in every suggestion. And I got the whole, I'll call you back.
Maybe.
and then all of a sudden I got a text with something completely different. And it was actually brilliant. I loved it. And I was like, all right, sweet. So that'll be the last time I'm ever asked to name a beer.
You know, it's tough. It's like, it's a branding, it's an identity thing. So it's tough because, you know, people will say like, hey, you should name a beer this. And it's like, you know, I appreciate the suggestion, but like the way this works is, you know, there's a lot
of
filters.
You asked.
I did.
Is it almost like naming one of your children?
Almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just want to say, hey, someday 20 years from now, that child might have to apply for a job and we don't have some strange name like Hot Bars.
Nobody should ask me to name their child either. I remember at one point when I was, I want to say eighth grade, I said, I used to tell all my friends, if I had a little girl, I would name her Michael. I was like, because then, because as you know, at that time, you were just mentioning about women in the workforce. I was like, oh, this way, she'll at least get the interview because they'll see the name on the application. And that's how my framework worked. But thankfully,
You were thinking that way in eighth grade?
Really? I was.
Oh, boy, you had that. Okay.
I was. But
and the fact that you can even remember eighth grade is amazing to me. But
not much before that, but I do remember. I also have two boys, and the one actually was another name that I said I was going to name when I was a freshman. And I held on to that, and that's Sullivan. That's my firstborn.
Nice.
Before the movie, Monsters, Inc., I would like to say. So there you go.
Everybody associates that.
I know, everybody. But I just wanted to thank everyone. Thank you both, especially for being here. It's been really great. I do appreciate it because I know you guys are taking time out of your busy days. And thanks to everyone for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, then tell your friends and family about us. They can find us by keywording Homes and Hops Podcast wherever they get podcasts. And if you want to find out more about Modern Methods and what's happening in the city of Warren, you can follow them on Facebook. And if you want to know, Mike, what would you say, all the updates?
All the updates would be on our website, warren.org, or look my name up and call me, and I'd be happy to talk.
I have his cell phone number now, if anybody would like
to know. There you go. I give it out all the time.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.